Contradictions at the outset. Paragraph 2. It would have been helpful in putting things into slightly better focus and perspective, if Huss had briefly indicated what the nature of the concentration camp industries at Auschwitz was, and the enormous importance this industry had for the Germans. In the entire transcript of IMT testimony, there appears to be only one specific reference to the nature of the industry at Auschwitz. It is in the testimony of political prisoner Marie-Claude Vaillant-Couturier, where she makes passing reference to an ammunition factory, no doubt the Krupp fuse plant, and to a, quote, large Buna factory, but as she did not work there, she did not know what was made there, unquote. There are other references, especially in the documents, but they are buried quite deeply. Not even Huss clung to the figure of 2,500,000 victims gassed, in private at the time of his testimony and also at his own trial in 1947 in Poland. He was hanged, he used a figure of 1,135,000. The lowest figure to be claimed by those who claim that gassings took place is 750,000. The Russians claimed 4 million, including some killed by, quote, injections, ill treatment, etc., unquote, but the highest figure claimed seems to be 7 million. The remark about 400,000 Hungarian Jews was in accord with a strange emphasis in the legend on the Hungarian Jews. This emphasis existed well before the Huss affidavit, and it has persisted to this day. It was on May 5, 1944, that Eichmann was supposed to have proposed, through the intermediary Joel Brand, a quote-unquote trucks for Hungarian Jews swap with the Western Allies. The continued emphasis on the Hungarian Jews seems to be a result of the focus, since 1960, on the activities of Eichmann. For the initial emphasis, the only explanation I can offer is that the problems of the Hungarian Jews started in March 1944 with the German occupation of Hungary, which was simultaneous with the beginnings of the functioning of the War Refugee Board, which had been established in January. Much of the attention of the WRB was thus directed toward Hungary. The problem of the Hungarian Jews is given special attention in the next chapter. Paragraph 4. Huss places the commencement of the gassings in the summer of 1941. He gets promoted in December 1943 to the Inspectorate of Concentration Camps at Oranienburg, but knows, quote, by reason of his continued duties there, unquote, that, quote, these mass executions continued, unquote. To claim knowledge of significant events at Auschwitz, while with the inspectorate, seems very reasonable, but in his testimony he said that in the summer of 1941 he, Huss, had been summoned to report directly to Himmler, and that during the interview, the concentration camp commandant had received directly from the Reichsfuhrer SS the order to begin exterminating the Jews, with the stipulation that he should maintain the strictest secrecy, not allowing even his immediate superior Glucks to find out what he was doing. Quote, Glucks was, so to speak, the inspector of concentration camps at that time, and he was immediately subordinate to the Reichsfuhrer, unquote. When did it start? Paragraph 6. It will be seen in Chapter 7 what the final solution of the Jewish question meant. Huss claims that he, quote, was ordered to establish extermination facilities at Auschwitz in June 1941, unquote. Thus, he reaffirms the date given in paragraph 4, and his testimony in support of the affidavit reaffirmed this date again. There seems no doubt that Huss was knowingly and deliberately given the summer of 1941 as the start, and that no slip is involved here. Also, Huss testified that, at the time of the Himmler order, the inspectorate, Glucks, was immediately subordinate to Himmler. This could only have been true prior to March 1942, at which time Oswald Pohl, chief of the WVHA, paragraph 3, took over the inspectorate, and Glucks started reporting to Pohl, who reported to Himmler. Prior to March 1942, the inspectorate seems to have been an orphan organization, and may have reported to Himmler, although it had connections with both Heydrich and Jüttner's operational main office, Führungshauptamt. Huss, of course, was familiar with these administrative arrangements, because in late April 1942, Pohl had held a meeting of all camp commanders and all leaders of the inspectorate for the specific purpose of discussing them. Despite all this, Reitlinger insists that Huss meant the summer of 1942, not 1941, for certain reasons that will be seen later, and also for other reasons. First, an obvious implicit claim of Haas's affidavit is that the visit to Treblinka took place after large deportations of Warsaw Jews to that camp. Huss confirmed this point explicitly in another affidavit. That puts the Treblinka visit in 1942. Second, according to Reitlinger's sources, the first large transports, 2,000, of Jews to Birkenau date from March 1942, when, quote, the small gassing installation in Birkenwald had only started to work, unquote. Actually, such arguments only increase the confusion, if we are also told that Huss received the extermination orders in the summer of 1942. These are simply the sorts of contradictions that one should expect to emerge from a pack of lies. However, For the sake of discussion, we should accept that Hus really meant the summer of 1942 and continue on to other matters. By any interpretation, however, Hus says that there were three other extermination camps at the time of the Himmler order, that he had visited Treblinka, and that this camp had been exterminating for 1/2 year. That puts the beginning of the gas chamber exterminations in early 1942, if we accept Reitlinger's point.